Hello and welcome to another Mystical Perspective. I'm your host, Reverend Cindy Paulos, and we've been delving into the Spiritual Mind Power Affirmations book, a practical, mystical, and spiritual inspiration applied to your life. And I've been really enjoying going over some of these Spiritual Mind Power Affirmations with you, with a little talk and also a meditation. Some prayer in there, and it's really a treat to be able to share these with you. This book was written by Dr. Paul Leon Masters, and you can find it on the site, metaphysics.com. Spend some time there. There's a lot for you to look at there and explore, including this book and the first book, which is Mystical Insights, and the last book out, Meditation Dynamics. But today we're going to go into a very interesting subject, illusions and realities of life. Do we know the difference even sometimes? It's a very, very important subject. And we'll start with the affirmations. With the first affirmation being appearances. My personal ego intellectual mind may only be able to see the sensory illusion of something in the physical world, while the Christ part of my consciousness, one with God's presence within me, can see beyond any physical appearances to the reality of what really is. So what are we seeing? Have you ever had a dream? And it's just the dreams going on like a typical dream, la-di-da-da. And then one time you have a dream that is more than a dream. It's so real that you completely remember it. Often you might wake up because it's so real. What's the difference? What makes one dream different and one dream more real? What level of consciousness is that real dream on? And in life, what is your level of consciousness? You're going along with your little Maya in our dream world, a dream within the dream, acting upon our stage, and then something takes us and sees a higher view. That presence, that God's presence within you, connects you to a higher reality, and you see what you are from a higher place. That's what we're talking about here. So repeating this one, appearances. My personal ego, intellectual mind, may only be able to see the sensory illusion of something in the physical world, while the Christ part of my consciousness, one with God's presence within me, can see beyond any physical appearances to the reality of what really is. And that Christ part, of course, we talk about in this series quite a bit, the Christed mind. Are you there in the Christed mind? Are you able to stay in the Christed mind? The next affirmation is good and bad. What may appear bad to begin with may only be an illusion, blocking out the reality of good that will come about as a result. And of course, this is a hard one for people in the midst of really feeling like something terrible has happened. Yet we have to remember that sometimes the only way we wake up from a dream is if it's a nightmare, and then we wake up. And what we think is bad is really sometimes just giving us an opportunity to awaken. So repeating that affirmation, good and bad, what may appear bad to begin with may only be an illusion, blocking out the reality of good that will come about as a result. The next one is short and long term. On a short term basis, anything may give an illusion of good or bad. while the reality of whatever it is ultimately, good or bad, can only be known on a long-term basis. So, for example, i.e., someone's very excited, think it's great, they're getting married to their dream person, they think everything's going to be great, and it turns out that person only wants them for their money, or is a terrible person, owes a lot of debt, or something really bad, and what we call bad happens, and then the good doesn't look so good anymore, and all of a sudden it seems bad. I mean, it's hard to know on a short-term basis, in the illusory, Maya-filled world, what is good or bad? What is the reality of that ultimate reality of what is good or what is bad? The next one is one life. The physical life appearances illusion is that there are many lives on the planet. While the reality is that there is ultimately only one life, that of God in the entire universe. So we know that we're all from atoms, all from the one source, all created from the Creator, yet we are in this individual consciousness, where we live out our life, where we forget that we're one. It's so easy if you're taking off in a plane and you seem like you've been all lost in the details when you're on ground, but then you go up in the air and it all looks so small. It all looks like it's just like one mass until you go higher and higher until you can barely see it anymore. And then if you go into outer space and look at the planet, it's so easy to see that it's one. And yet here in the small part, the limited everyday living, we don't see ourselves as one. That's the difference between the oneness of the Christ consciousness, one with God, versus our individual consciousness. The next one is existence. The illusion is that only this one lifetime exists for humans, while the reality is that everyone is inseparable from eternity or God's presence, and therefore lives eternally. So this seems so simple and it seems so complicated, right? Because while you're in illusion, the Maya, the dream state, it's so hard to really see and be the truth. And that illusion that this one lifetime, people fight so hard for this one life and to stay alive, but the reality is we're living in an eternal life. Our soul has lived life after life after life after life after life, each time having a chance to learn more and become wiser and more in tune with the awakening reality. So repeating existence, the illusion is that only this one lifetime exists for humans, while the reality is that everyone is inseparable from eternity or God's presence and therefore lives on eternally. We go on to personal ego intellectual identity. The illusion is that every human being seems to be a separate entity, while the reality is that only God's life exists hidden within and manifests in the illusions of separate existences or humans. Again, here we go with the illusion. We all think we're separate here, interacting separately, living our lives separately. But in the overall big picture, the reality is that only God's life exists. So we're not separate. It's just our ego that's thinking it's separate. Repeating this one, the illusion is that every human being seems to be a separate reality, a separate entity, while the reality is that only God's life exists hidden within and manifests in the illusion or separate existences on humans. The next one is love or love question mark. The illusion is that love might exist between two people, but the reality is that need and lust are posing as love, unless the love of the one life of God flows between the two persons. So this is a huge one, right? I mean, how many people really, really think it's love? And it, you know, love has so many forms, right? But the illusion is might be that that is really lust. We know that in the first few months, 6 months, that is what draws people together many times. Or there could be a need there that is really drawing people together. But is there really the love of the one life of God flowing between the two persons? Is there that energy that is timeless? Repeating it, the illusion is that love might exist between two people, but the reality is that need and lust are posing as love unless the love of the one life of God flows between the two persons. Aloneness. The illusion is that you are alone unless you are with another person, while the reality is that you are always in the companionship of the only presence that really exists, God's life within and a part of you. And I love the word alone, because if you take it apart, A-L, all, one, all one, alone, we're all one and we think we're alone. That's the illusion. Repeating this, the illusion is that you are alone unless you're with another person, while the reality is that you are always in the companionship of the only presence that really exists, God's life within and a part of you. I love taking walks out in nature alone. I know I'm not alone, and when I'm in nature, I'm so much more able to be in tune, because many times with people, they want to talk, or they have issues they want to work out, or they, you know, saying things from their point of view, etc. And I have a much easier time communing in nature when I'm alone, because I know I'm not alone. I'm really a part of nature at that point, and I feel very attuned to all of life. The next one is karma. The illusion is that one can escape the result of negative actions or fail to reap the rewards of positive action, while reality is that it's only a matter of time when the karmic results materializes. Instant karma is going to get you, right? Didn't John Lennon say that? Well, it's not always instant. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. But there's always cause and effect. And the illusion is that one can escape the results of negative actions or fail to reap the rewards of positive actions. But the reality is that it's just a matter of time when karma materializes. And the next one is spirituality. The illusion is that a person grows spiritually, while the reality is that they reawaken to what they already are on whatever level of spirituality that might be. So this is really an interesting one, because so many people invest in so much money to grow spiritually. So a lot of it really is just a matter of reawakening to what you already are. And of course, in meditation, you experience this. Repeating this, the illusion is that a person grows spiritually, while the reality is they reawaken to what they already are, whatever level of spirituality that might be. And the last one here is true wealth. Wealth is not the illusion of what is contained in one's purse or wallet, but in warmth, joy, and love of the spiritual heart shared with God's presence. So we really spend a lot of time working on wealth and worrying about money and paying taxes, but what really is important, what is really of worth, is the love and the warmth and the joy that you're sharing with others and with God's presence. Again, repeating this, Wealth is not the illusion of what is contained in one's purse or wallet, but in warmth, joy, and love of the spiritual heart shared with God's presence. Can't buy me love. Okay, so this is such a deep subject. I mean, what does it take to wake up, really? I mean, there is this mystical reality that is aware. And that personal ego is always wanting its fair share, but it doesn't always know what's best for the soul. And if we are just living out the dream of the dream that we believe we want from the ego's point of view, we won't be fulfilling our real purpose and destiny here. The reality is only God or universal consciousness knows. And so we always go to that place within in meditation where we join with God and realize that we're in the process of co-creating God's will in our lives. Otherwise, what we're co-creating is an illusion, and we're feeding that illusion with a lot of our time and energy. The universal God self won't help you fulfill your personal ego desires because it really wishes to have you work within that true energy of love and that true power of being united with the Christed energy. Only when the will of God or the universe is served will any form of co-creative process with you will be entered into. And we can be co-creators and work with God if we let God work with us as an instrument of that will, and it's an instrument of that peace, as an instrument of that love. God mind places in our human consciousness what it should do and want to do or desire, and in essence, human consciousness can agree to be a co-creator with God. We can align ourselves with the universal will so that the will of God or Spirit can be done through us and our soul, and we can fulfill our true purpose. Even Christ said, "Why call me good? It is not I, but the Father, God, that doeth these good works." And those are the reality. Those are words from the presence to whom a lot of us would really attribute the wonderful, magical healings that happened and the miracles. Christ wasn't doing it for his own good, his own ego. He was doing it from the Father to fulfill his destiny, his purpose. So let's always remember who's in charge and why we have our life and what our real purpose is. Only God's power is real. And we have to remember what we're here for to manifest. That really does help in awakening us. I wrote this poem. If I take away all the covers I've made from the fabrics that mask my life, can I find just this eternal moment? Merge with that one source of light. What is left to do here but to just experience being with all the hidden things revealed, to accept what I am and might have been? And maybe sometimes I judge myself too harshly for what I just cannot do. And maybe it's just time to accept and let go of the high bar set by me and you. Is there enough room here to hold the outer edges of that higher mind and bring it back to living in these confines to try to understand this limited Maya space and time? For we're here in this earthly place, and we can only search for how to embrace and live with the reasons that you face and comprehend the depths of God's will and grace. So let's take a moment to think about this. What is your real true purpose? What is your true highest reality? Let's take a couple of deep breaths here, breathing in the light and letting go of any of the distractions, the illusions. Breathing in the truth of our true purpose and allowing that to be present in the presence. Breathing in the presence, allowing that presence to be aware of our total purpose, our total beingness, our total light, our oneness with the source, our true source of all love that is eternal. Let's call upon that source and allow that will of God to find a place in our heart, to find a place in our mind, to find a place in our true meaning of our awareness, to let go of the Maya and the illusion, to shine the light upon any of the darkness till there's only light and we become one with that light and that love. We embody that light, that eternal light and that infinite love. And we breathe this in, we breathe it in deeply, and we allow ourselves to understand that we are one with God. And we allow that oneness to completely bring an awakening and awareness of our true meaning and purpose in life. Know your reality now and live it and be it. And we say thank you, God, and so it is. Through meditation, we can form new patterns and we can release the old patterns and we can awaken and we can allow that presence to infiltrate us and waken us to what our real truth is, what our real reality is, what the highest enlightenment experience is. There's an amazing sutra called the Heart Sutra that is part, was done thousands of years ago in Buddhism, which many Buddhists actually recite every day. It's the Prajnaparamita Heart Sutra. And it's very, 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 very revered and recited in a lot of these Buddhist traditions. And it aids in the liberation of the self. And it's said to lead to enlightenment. And it goes, when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing in the deep Prajnaparamita, he perceived that all five senses are empty. Thus he overcame all ills and suffering. O Shariputta, form does not differ from the void, and the void does not differ from the form. Form and void, form is void, and void is form. The same is true for feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousness. Shariputta, the characteristics of the voidness of all dharmas are non-arising, non-ceasing, non-defiled, non-pure, non-increasing, non-decreasing. Therefore, in the void there are no forms, no feelings, no perceptions, no volitions or consciousness, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no form, sound, smell, taste, touch, or mind object, no realm of the eye, until we come to no realm of consciousness, no ignorance and no ending of ignorance, until we come to no old age and death, and no ending of old age and death. Also, there is no truth of suffering or the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering, nor of the path. There is no wisdom, there is no attainment whatsoever, because there is nothing to be attained. The Bodhisattva relying on Prajnaparamita has no obstruction in his mind, because there is no obstruction. He has no fear, because he passes far beyond confused imagination and reaches ultimate nirvana. the Buddhas of the past, present, and future, relying on Prajnaparamita, have attained supreme enlightenment. Therefore, the Prajnaparamita is the great spell, the magic spell, the spell of illumination, and the supreme spell which can truly protect one from all suffering without fail. Therefore, he uttered the spell of Prajnaparamita, saying, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha. So that is the Buddhist awakening, which takes you from everything to nothing and nothing to everything. And I'm going to close with the Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer. Father, Mother of the Cosmos, shimmering light of all, focus your light within us as we breathe your holy breath. Enter the sanctuary of our hearts, uniting within us the sacred rays of your power and beauty. Let your heart's desire unite heaven and earth through our sacred union. Help us fulfill what lies within the circle of our lives today. Forgive our secret fears as we freely choose to forgive the secret fears of others. Let us not enter into forgetfulness, tempted by false appearances. For from your astonishing fire comes the eternal song, which sanctifies all, renewed eternally in our lives and throughout creation. We seal these words in our heart, committed in trust and faith. Our talk today was based on the Spiritual Mind Power Affirmations book by Dr. Paul Leon Masters. It's available at metaphysics.com, also on Amazon. And I have all of these talks for, well, it's been a year now. I think there's 40 of them now. Go to mysticalperspectives.com and you can find those all there for free. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this talk. I wish you the brightest light and love always. God bless you.